Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. I pray that your last couple of weeks with us just having concluded Easter have just been magnificent. I'm so proud of each one of you for serving well during these moments. I know that my passion in life is to make heaven bigger and the kingdom of God better. And I know that each one of you in some capacity were able to do that in your locale. That being said, I want to remind you of some upcoming events. On April the 25th, we'll be in Rancho Cucamonga. Two great friends of mine, Adam Mesa and Diego Mesa, pastor a church there, and it's just a fantastic church. But we're going to be doing a roundtable. And let me just say, one of the constants in the roundtable has been the information that I've been sharing on, for your church to get bigger, your team has to get better. And let me just say, that's true whether you're a church pastor or you're in business. You've got to get your team better for your business to get bigger, whether it's a business or a church. And I'm just telling you, this is fantastic information, and it's resonated across the nation. And then in Dayton, Ohio, on May the 6th, we're going to be doing a half-day roundtable. We've never done this before. It's going to be a consolidated one. And I want to encourage you, if you're in the Ohio area, to come to that. And then Raleigh-Durham on the 7th in North Carolina. Now, one of the things that I teach is that you can grow by hearing, but you multiply by being in the room. There's something about being in the room with leaders that multiplies, and that's one of the reasons every year there's two events I make sure I'm in the room for. Why? Because it multiplies me. It challenges me. Well, you can go to my website, GeraldBrooksMinistries.com, and you can sign up for all three of these. That being said, today I want to talk to you about the multi-dimensions of leadership, the multi-dimensions of leadership. Now, here's the thing about leadership. It's usually taught as a snapshot, a given moment. So we see Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg. We see Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, Alabama. We see JFK in Berlin. But here's the thing. All of those are snapshots. But really, for that leader to get to that snapshot, there were a whole lot of things that unfolded in their life. And what I can tell you is that leadership is a mixture of five components. Leadership is a mixture of five components. The first component is the gifts slash talents that you've received. So, and as a leader, there are gifts that you have been given, talents that you possess, that you have received. And that is a part of the leadership mixture. Then there's the skills that we've learned. All of us may have natural gifts and talents, but then there are skills that we just have to learn. We have to learn to do these, or our gifts and talents will be inadequate. But then on the other hand, there's the experiences we've been through. Everyone is framed by their experiences. David was framed by his in the Old Testament. Joseph in the Old Testament was framed by his. And so you have this mixture of gifts, talents that we've received, skills that we've learned, experiences that we've gone through, but then also attitudes that we've developed. How we filter all of the above, how we filter our gifts, our skills, our experiences, are all filtered through attitudes. But then for those of us that are maybe on the spiritual side of leadership, there's the anointing, that which God enables you to do that only God can enable you to do. So when you study leadership, it's not a snapshot. It really is a mixture. It's someone going into the kitchen and taking all these ingredients and putting them in the bowl and putting them in the mixer bowl and turning the mixer on. Well, what I know is this. Every leader is a component of the gifts, talents, the skills, the experiences, the attitudes, and the anointing. And all of those work together. Now, the thing about it is that sometimes we need a picture of how those work together. And one of the things I can tell you is that Paul was great on giving us the imagery of leadership. He talked in imagery communication to make sure that there was a visual component of leadership. So I can look at you and say, go lead, and that's sort of abstract. But then I can say, go be a tour guide, and that begins to give a little bit of context that you see someone who's been there before, who's pointing out things they've seen before to people who haven't seen them. So leadership has a visual aspect, and that's what Paul was good at talking about. What are some of the visual aids that help us to see and to understand leadership? Well, one of the things that we find out, Paul mentored this young leader, and this young leader was named Timothy. And Timothy was a very, very young leader. So Paul wanted him to get what leadership was. So what he gave him was six illustrations of a leader. Six illustrations of a leader. And these six illustrations began to frame him, and they began to help him to hone in his leadership skills. Now, all of these are found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he gives him these six illustrations of leadership. He talks about being a soldier. And so he talks about enduring as a soldier would endure. He talks about being an athlete, someone who's highly proficient in a specific skill set. He talks about being a farmer, and then he talks about being someone who just knows how to go to work, a workman. But then he talks about the craftsman, the person who goes to work but does something at a level of effectiveness that makes them a craftsman. And then he says all of these happen within the environment of being a servant. So in verse 2, he talks about being a soldier. In verse 5, he talks about being an athlete. In verse 6, he talks about being a farmer. And in verse 15, he talks about being a workman. In verse 20, he talks about being a craftsman. And in verse 24, he talks about being a servant. Now, each one of these are imagery that make up the totality. So you're just not a soldier. You're just not an athlete. You're just not a farmer. You're just not a workman. You're just not a craftsman. And you're just not a servant. You're all of these things. And see, that's what leadership is. It's this composite picture of multiple pictures that form together to create the idea of leadership. So all of these are needed to be balanced as a leader. But let me just go through the Bible history, and we can see an example. If you wanted to see the soldier as a leader, you would look at David. David was the soldier. That's how he was propelled in his leadership journey, when he went out and he faced Goliath. But what we know is that Israel's going to extend to the furthest boundaries that it's ever extended, but it's because of the soldier quality of who David was, to take and to conquer and to be able to lead in battle in a proficient way. He was the soldier. On the other hand, Titus was the athlete. See, Titus seemed to be the go-to player for the Apostle Paul. When something got really messy, he would send Titus in. When something was really difficult, he would send Titus in. Titus had whatever that specialness, the it factor, that quality. You see it sometimes. There are people who play sports, and then there's the person with the it factor. They just have it, whether it's a Michael Jordan, whether it's a Peyton Manning, whether it's a Tom Brady, whether it's an Aaron Judge, someone like that that just has the it factor. And so Titus was that. James, on the other hand, the writer of the book of James, he was a farmer. I mean, he was a pastor. He just plowed ground, and he plowed the same ground over and over again, just attempting to make it more effective. And then Solomon, he was the workman. He just knew how to go to work. He was the one that had the wisdom of the day. He knew how to navigate a day. He knew how to manage a day. He was that. And then Barnabas was that craftsman. He could take what no one else could do, and he could do well with it. So when they needed to be able to reach out to Paul, God sent Barnabas to him because Barnabas was the guy who really had the ability to take what others couldn't do and do it. And we see Barnabas continually. And then we know that Luke, that doctor, he was the ultimate server. So you see in the Bible these various individuals. You see David, who was a leader as a soldier. You see Titus, who was a leader as an athlete. You see James, who was a leader as a farmer. You see Solomon, who was a leader as a workman, Barnabas as a craftsman, and Luke as a servant. But all of them had all the other components too. It's just that in your life, you will balance all of these six, but one of them may be the designated skill that you are more profound in and everything else. And so you may be in that position that you just look there and it's more profound in you. Now, leaders have to be good soldiers. And what that means is you've got to be willing to fight for what you have been placed in the kingdom of God for. And when we talk about fight, leaders don't pick fights, but they don't run from fights. So they understand that as a leader, you're going to have to fight. You're going to fight for other people when they don't know how to fight. You're going to fight for the kingdom of God because there's values that need to be articulated. And you're going to fight fights in your own life that no one else is going to see. So what we know is that the nature of leadership is that leaders sometimes have to be the soldier. They have to lead the fight. They have to get out on the front lines. They have to represent on that front lines, and they have to be the example. And so leaders teach us when they're soldiers, commitment and courage. They're highly committed, and they have the courage to engage in the fight. Next, leaders strive for excellence like an athlete. My grandson is just an amazing athlete, and he has that it factor in him. And it's just amazing to watch him when he competes, that he's just different. But in all the differences he has, he still goes to training. Why? Because you have to hone in your skills. You have to create excellence. And what excellence does is it teaches us that desire is not enough. You have to have discipline. And so leadership without discipline creates a wrong environment because people can't follow you. They can't follow talent. They can follow commitment. They can follow discipline. And so leaders strive for excellence. But then leaders have the vision of a farmer. And farmers, they many times are not valued, but every year, a farmer goes out and looks at a field, and it just looks like just mounds of dirt. But they begin to till that dirt, and they begin to plow that dirt, and they begin to just oversee that dirt. But then eventually, there's a harvest that comes. See, farmers see what other people didn't see. They see the potential of the field. And every leader has to see what other people don't see. They have to be willing to see before others see, and they do before others do, so that they can create what others can't create. And that's what farmers do. And so farmers utilize the environment that they're in to begin to see possibilities, and as they see those possibilities, things begin to work. Now, the next one is that leaders are workmen. Leaders know how to work. Leadership isn't the art of being lazy. Leadership is knowing how to show up and do the job. And so that's what leaders do. Now, what we know is that in every job, there's more complexity to it than ever before. There's more issues that you have to manage. There's more circumstances that you have to handle. There's more things that are going on. And what I can tell you is that if you don't work at what you do, you won't be doing what you do long. And it doesn't matter how much talent you have or how much gift you have. If it's not baptized and immersed in work, you're just not going to do it long. And there's a lot of people that want to lead, they just don't want to work. They think leadership is getting other people to work. Leadership is you working. Now, you may work differently and in different areas than other people, but no one should outwork you. As I tell people, when I was the lead pastor of this church and I'm now the founding pastor, nobody ever outworked me. Now, they might do different work, but they didn't outwork me because there was always in my mind something that I needed to do to help other people do what they do. See, when the leader works and does what they need to do, it elevates other people to work and to do the things that they need to do. So what we know is that leaders are workmen. They take their talent and they work at it, and they work at it. And as a result, things begin to change. And then it's not only that, but leaders also, they understand the nature. They understand the nature of being a craftsman. They know how to take their work and make it special. One of the things that we know is that generic isn't what God has any of us doing. One size doesn't fit all. God's created all of us in a special way to do special things, and God wants our craftsmanship of the uniqueness of who He's made us, the combination of all of the different parts of leadership, but they're going to be honed in a way that when people step back, a leader is going to be able to craft something that is unique to the gift mixture that they have. And so craftsmen, they bring work and they bring it to a highlight. And what craftsmanship does is it allows other people to see what God's done. Because people look at something and they say, well, how did that happen? Well, the way it happened was this. It happened because God turned you into a craftsman. Another thing, leaders are servants. And the most important thing about a servant is they're humble. They're just humble. And what a leader does is a leader brings humility to the task. And what that means is they never take themselves too serious. They never look at themselves in a fashion where they're just too serious about who they are. It's true that you have value and it's true that you have importance. But it's also true that when everything's said and done, you're a servant of God. And the goal of leadership is to serve, not be served. And boy, I wished I could articulate that in our society. Because if there's a distinction in leadership between the world and the kingdom, the world says, I lead so I can be served. The kingdom says, I lead so I can serve. And being a servant and having a servant's heart is important. So I want to encourage you that you would just look over and make sure that in all of our lives, that we understand the various characteristics. See, there are days when you've got to be a soldier. There are days when you have to be an athlete. There are times when you've got to be the farmer. There's a time when you've got to just go to work and be the workman. And then there's times when you shine in your work and you become the craftsman, but all the time you are the servant. So I say all that to you because I believe very, very much that we need the multifacets of leadership. We need to understand the dimensions of leadership. And you can't just lead. You can't just be a soldier all the time. You won't survive it. You can't just be an athlete all the time because it's not just a race. And you can't just be a farmer. See, each one of these are required for an effective leader. And I want to encourage you that you can be that effective leader. The kingdom of God needs you. We need you. And so you can lead with that capacity. That being said, let me just say this to you. I want to remind you that being in the room is the game changer. And some of you that listen to this, you enjoy the content. but you need to understand the context. And when you're in the room, you get the context and not just the content. And so I want to encourage you on April the 25th to be in Rancho Cucamonga. It is a great church in California. Come and join us. On May 6th, come to Dayton, Ohio. And then on Raleigh-Durham on May 7th. These are roundtables that I think you will find to be so positive in your life. So come and join us and be a part of them. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.